We'll continue our series of messages on faith, that is the basics of faith, what we call faith basics. And today, like I said last time, I'm going to talk about what I call the believer's hope of victory. And I think that should take us two or three or maybe even four sessions of it. I'm not going to say things that are totally new. That's not my aim, to continue to say things that are totally new. The aim is to help us be established. There's something I saw today which, as I was reading Colossians chapter 1, which we're going to read now, and it just confirmed something that I've been thinking for a while. You know, for those of us who are around, we co-workers in the morning, we had a meeting today, and I said something that a book, I told my wife I was going to write. I'm not sure I'll write it, but something I have in mind, some thoughts that I have. And it's titled, I called it 21st Century Dark Ages. What do I mean by 21st Century Dark Ages? It's that, if you know, there was a time the church was in the Dark Ages. The truth of the gospel was rare. All right, people were just following institutional order, and they were not really following the word of God. And we said it was the Dark Ages. It was when the church had become very political, when the head of the Catholic Church was appointing kings. That is, for you to be a king in Europe, you had to be ordained by the Pope. All right, that was a very serious matter. The church was very, very powerful, but as powerful as the church was, the word was missing. The word of God was missing. It's people like Martin Luther that rose up again and began to contest for the integrity of the Word of God and to insist that the Word of God must be respected and honored. That was when light came back into the body of Christ. Now, so we call those ages the Dark Ages. But, you know, we now think that we're in the age of light. And as a matter of fact, indeed, we're in the age of light. And the thing about it is that we can preach the truth, even though we disagree with institutions, yet we are not persecuted. Yes, we thank God for that, all right? But one thing I have noticed is that what is very popular, all right, is, I'm sorry to say this, is not actually the truth, all right? Churches are everywhere now, but one problem is coming. Those days, remember the days of the Dark Ages, politics was a very serious matter. That this church was very powerful. Right now, prosperity is our problem. Do you understand? Not just political power, but what? Prosperity. That is, we have become very powerful. And if you look at Nigeria, we are politically very powerful also. Governors who want to win elections go to church to go and talk to the pastors and explain why they should tell their people to vote for them. We have indeed become very powerful. The problem, however, is that if we are not careful, we get drunk with our power, all right? And we leave what is the true message of God. And that's why, having considered it, I felt like writing what I call the 21st century dark ages, in which the truth of the word of God is not very common anymore. And people are just doing things that produce money, that make them more acceptable with people. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right. And the one thing you notice, and this is what I said I read from Colossians chapter 1, which is what is missing in our gospel. Quickly go there. We're going to continue from there. I'm talking about believers' hope of victory. But I just want to say that one briefly. We have to be careful. One day there's a man that's very popular for the things that he says, preaches, and is supposed to be a preacher. And a friend of mine, a preacher, called on the phone about 2 days ago. He said, "That man, I don't like listening to him." And I laughed. The man is very popular. If I mention the name of you, everybody will know him. What does not like listening to him? The summary is that he said what he preaches is not the gospel of Christ. It's human wisdom. And let me tell you something. Human wisdom is not a wickedness. Are you getting my point? It's not as if it's wickedness. All right? But if you wake up and you're a preacher, all you talk about is time management, how to manage money, how to be efficient. What you are saying, is it wrong? No, it's not wrong. It's good. Every Christian should learn it. But it's not the gospel. Are you getting my point? He said, "Look, that I don't listen to him. That I wrote him off long years ago. That everybody was singing his praise, but I listened to him. I said, this man is not preaching to me the gospel. So I don't listen to him." And that's what I mean by 21st century dark ages. We may say things that are good and nice, all right? But at the end of the day, we ask ourselves, are we preaching what Christ said we should preach? Are we preaching what the real gospel actually is? Colossians chapter 1, this is where we're going to start from today. The believer's hope of victory. I've been saying this for some time now, that life has spheres. You can live by the natural sphere, all right? You can try to use your intellect. Whatever you do, you decide the kind of sphere you want to live in. But we said there's a higher sphere in life, which is called this. Let me put another word, all right? The third heavens. That's just a joke, all right? But actually, what I mean is that this is the sphere in which the operative principle is what the Bible calls the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Okay? Which is what we call favor. One of the manifestations is favor. What do I mean? You may not be very skilled, all right, in arranging things. But when God is said to bless you, we send people that are more skilled than you to come and help you, and you command that they must help you. Do you get my point? So men who have gone to school, who have gone to study maybe some business skills, and they've been at it for 15 years studying hard, at the end of the day, they become your servants. Why? Because you are experiencing what the Bible calls the sure mercies of David. And the law of God is that if you're experiencing the mercies of David, all the skilled warriors must be at your beck and call. Are you getting my point? So even though you don't have the natural equipment for success, you discover that you are absolutely, fantastically successful. Why? Because you are operating in the sphere of the law of the Spirit of life, which is only found in Christ Jesus. I hope you are following the principle. We have been explaining that. So what we are supposed to do, all right, is to choose where we want to walk. I'm going to go over that thing again. That's essentially what I'm talking about, all right? Just need to add one or two things to it. But we'll talk about this when we're talking about the fruitful life. If you want to walk by your degrees, go ahead. If you want to go by the, certificates you have acquired, go ahead. There are those who believe that the way by which they are going to succeed and prosper in life is they gather all their parents' money and go and get an MBA from Harvard. Do you understand? It's called, to be carnally minded. Carnal mindedness is not fornication. I hope you get my point. It is not lying and cheating. Carnal mindedness means that you are using natural things to plot the course of your life. And what matters to you are the things that natural events say. It's called being a soothsayer like the Philistines. Do you get my point? When you finish all your machinations, you will work for the man who is operating the grace and the favor of God. That's the way it works. So you make up your mind, which sphere do you want to operate in? I'm not saying don't learn, don't get degrees, but I'm saying don't think they are the passports of prosperity. They are not. Christians prosper because God placed out a word there and said, you will prosper. Even if you fall asleep, you will prosper. Why? There is a commandment that guarantees that a man sleeping can prosper. He said he gives to his beloved even while he sleeps. Are you getting my point? That is, a lot of the blessings you will get in life will come to you when you are not aware they were coming. I always say the day that Joseph began to prosper, you know what I mean, what we call prosperity now, it was a normal day in which he did not have anything to do with the thing that brought him into the place of prosperity. The king sent for him. It was not his planning. Listen, we must, you know, let me just say there, now I'm digressing, but before I read that, tell the scripture. What Christians, the reason why we Christians do things in life, I need to emphasize that to you, is because they are right. Not because we are trying to get something from it. Are you getting my point? Let me give you a very practical and very silly example. All right? I have children. Do you know it has never crossed my mind that they will take care of me when I'm old? Did you hear what I said? It has never crossed my mind that one day I will be old and then Akinlu will be the one to pay for my food. Olubenga will be the one to pay for my house. And now, listen, if you have to do that for parents, it is good. You hear what I said? It is very good. It is very good. But it has never crossed my mind that that's why I'm training the children. Are you getting my point? God forbid it not happen. All right? In the name of Jesus, it not happen. But if God were to reveal to me that in about 10 years' time, I will remove all your children from you, you think I would withdraw them from school because of that? No. They will still get the best that I can give them today. I will keep giving them. Do you know why? Because that's what parents are supposed to do. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what parents are supposed to do. It is not because we will get from them later. My faith in God, the promise of God I have over my life is that when I'm 100 years old, all right, and my son is a great grandfather himself, if he needs money, I will give him. Even though I have prayed that he will prosper more than I will prosper, but a time will not come that I will need to depend on him for anything. I will be giving blessings and material matters to my great-grandchildren. It has never crossed my mind that the reason why I'm taking care of my children is that when I grow up, they will take care of me. For what? I don't plan to be sick when I'm old. I will be fit. When I'm the age of 100, people will still gather the way you have gathered now to listen to me teach the word of God. I will still stand. All right? And be competing with the young men for who find pass. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, that's what I believe God for. So why do I do the things I do for my children? Because it is right. Because that's what parents are supposed to do. I hope you are following what I'm saying. Let me just turn it around briefly. That is why you may say, when I was very young, my father went and married a second wife. Therefore, he abandoned my mother and us. Now I have grown. My mother is the one that suffered for us. And your father is suffering right now, you know. His second wife is a thief. I mean, they often are. Oh, yeah? You know what I'm saying? So when he didn't prosper again, she quarreled with him and left him. And your mother couldn't take him back, you know. And you don't blame her. I don't blame her too. And now you are very rich. And you look at, you see? You see? And you are doing him toying. You know what they call toying? See, you don't catch up with it now. That's why I think, listen, my friend, that is ungodliness. What people do, what young prosperous men do, what young prosperous women do is to take care of their parents if they need to. You are not paying them back for the good they did you those days. Are you getting my point? Just like you are not investing for your children's future so that they will bless you back. In the same manner, you are not paying them back for the one that they did or did not do. You take care of them because it is right. If you're angry with him, I'm on your side. You should be angry. I mean, if you're not angry, you're not a human being. Even Jesus Christ is vexed. When he pulled out belts, began whipping people inside the temple, what you think was out of rejoicing of his soul? It was out of vexation. I was listening to a message in my car. The man was talking about the infilling of the Spirit. He said, Christians think that spiritual people are those who never, they're always very humble. If you slap them, they'll say, amen, praise God. If a man slaps you, if you don't want to slap him back, quote scripture. Do you understand my point? The natural thing is to kick him somewhere. What I'm not saying is that spiritual people, they vex. That's the point that I'm making. So if you vex on your father for all the things that he did that time, I'm on your side. You should vex. Don't go and greet him. Why should you go and greet him? Don't worry. Don't go and greet him, but send him money. I know it doesn't have to become your best friend and you just and say what's happening in this country right now. I'm not. If you can do that, all well and good, the better. Are you following my point? But if you can't do that, don't worry about doing that. That's what I'm trying to explain. Don't feel under obligation that you must go and cross leg and be pushing draft with him. Say, daddy, don't play. Well, my thought. Listen, if you can do it, fine. But even though you are not able to do that, but that he must not go hungry is a commandment that you must obey. That his medicine must be regularly provided. That one, you don't. Is it? What am I going to explain? You don't have to be his friend to give him money for medicine. You don't have to be his friend to ensure that there's roof over his head. You don't have to be his friend to ensure he's clothed. Why are you doing it? Because of the good things he did for you. Now, like, he didn't do any good thing for you apart from impregnating your mother. You know. But that one has made it a commandment over your head that you must provide for him if he's in need. So why do you do it? Because you want to pay him back? No, but because it is right. I don't know why I just decided to use as an example. The point I'm making here is this. Christians do things because it is right. That's why, you know, it's my personal ministry these days to help you to give money for the right reason. You understand my point? I was in full gospel 2 days ago when I finished preaching. One elderly man, I think the president of the chapter, he came and gave me a very big hug, an elderly hug. Say, this young man, God bless you. You have spoken my mind, you have told the truth. He was so happy. Because I was talking on tipping point decisions. I will make the message available to you. And I said some truth. I said, all of you, you know now, you have given one offering because you want to prosper. Hear it now, you didn't prosper anything. The man was very happy I was in it. Alright, so anyway, let me just get going on what I'm saying. So, we don't give money because we want to get. It is ungodly, it is wrong, it is not commanded by God. You cannot go to God and go and quote that I gave money, therefore you must give me back. You can't do that. I've said it 10,000 times, but Don't get tired. I'm going to say it 100,000 times. I only got in 10, because as long as I hear the rubbish I hear around, they have a saying in my part of the country. They say, lice will not finish on the head. Blood will not finish on the nails. And you go, they pick and they kill, and you won't say, I don't kill enough lice. You will keep killing it. As long as the false doctrine is pumping, I will continue to teach the truth. We don't give money because of what we are going to get. We don't look at Bill Gates and say, because you have plenty of money, you don't need to give again. We don't say that. Why do we give money? Because it is right. Not because of what we will get, but because of what? It is right. It's the right thing to do. Are you getting my point? Tie a blessing to this offering is a lie. It doesn't work. God has never given anybody the ability to tie any blessing to any offering. The tying of things together is only God that can do it. What God has joined together is what man can't put asunder. Man can't join any nonsense together. Can't join your offering to a car. What rubbish is that? You can't. No, get my point. You can't. It's not whether you should do it or you shouldn't do it. The point is that it does not work. You want to give money? Give money because it is right. And let me just, you know, one of the things that make people resistant to truth is that they've practiced it for long. You say, Pastor, total offering I have given on this project, as of today, is like half a million naira. How much do I earn? Are you telling me it was a waste yesterday? Yes, it was. And the earlier you repent, the quicker your breakthrough will come. Don't be a man who's being jobbed. You know, they call jobbing a man. The subject of 419. He said, we have invested $1 million. Let's just give another 50,000 so that the money can come out. That's how you keep. Before you know, it's now 2 million. Cut your losses early. You have invested wrongly into the realm of the spirit. Christians don't give because they want to prosper. They give because it is what? Right. It's called godliness with contentment. Don't forget it. What you cannot do and forget, don't do it at all. What I mean is that if you now give, you cannot give money and forget it. You have to be attacked and say, God, how now? Good money, no. 2 days ago now, you remember now? Yeah, in that church, I dropped 50K. How far? You never germinate. So you go and meet God and say, now, well, if we don't germinate, how far would your fruit? Is that I asking? Once you do like that, you wasted it. Let me say this again. This is interesting about God. If you do what is right because it is right, you get abundant reward for it. If you do what is right because of the reward, you get nothing. It's called the killing of your seed. Now, why did I go into all of that? So when I'm saying that we cannot plot natural, we cannot use natural things to plot our lives. So why do we do things that are natural? Then we do them because they are right. You should go to school, it is right. You should learn, it is right. If you go to university to learn, they will give you a certificate. It is good. It's no guarantee for success. It's not guarantee for success at all. It doesn't, in fact, it doesn't guarantee anything. It does not guarantee anything. Go and ask all the people who are bragging, first class, first class, first class. Go and ask who they are working for. The man hardly finished OND. Go and check it. You know I'm not lying. The people they are queuing up in their companies to get a job, most of them didn't go to those schools. Are you following the point? It's very crucial we understand it too. If you are going to school as a child of God, aim for first class, it is good. Excellence is befitting of Christianity. Are you getting my point? Because what happens is a lot of people that, because when you talk like this, they will now go, and when they're supposed to go class, they go cross leg. Are you not going for lectures? Why? Does it guarantee prosperity? Pastor Frank said it doesn't guarantee prosperity. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We're not going for lectures because it guarantees prosperity. We are going for lectures because it is right. We have paid the fees, we must learn. Life is not just about trying to prosper. It's about impacting life. Charles Stanley said, blessings are not the things that mark Christianity. It's sacrifice that marks Christianity. To lay down your life for the blessing of everybody is what Christianity is about. Not to grab. So the student goes to school and aims for excellence because it is right. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain? That's what we mean when we are saying that we are not plotting life based on natural things, but we'll do that which is right because they are right. But our prosperity, our blessing, they are guaranteed. Those things are guaranteed because of the promise of God. So that even though we didn't have the natural things to make them happen, we will understand that the Bible says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's how people will live. What it means is that their blessing, their prosperity, they are commanded by the word of God, not by the natural things around them. Natural things only flow to conform with what God has said about you. That's the believer's hope of victory. So we don't plot our life based on natural things. I said we should open somewhere. Yes, the book of Colossians chapter 1. So I said that to let us know that we are supposed to decide the sphere of life that we will live in individually. If you choose the sphere of the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, you activate the blessings of God therein by faith, your life will definitely experience the grace and the power of God. Colossians chapter 1. Let me just, because of time, let's not read everything. If you know, we started reading from, I think around verse 9 before, talking about the fact that he brought us out of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have forgiveness of sins, he said in verse 14. And then we now went ahead and talked about the excellency of this person, Christ Jesus. And that's what we want to continue to talk about from verse 24. He said, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up that which is lacking in Christ's affliction. Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. That is, this is what I preach. The mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches, notice that riches, of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Everybody, please, let's repeat this with me. Which is Christ in you?
Which is Christ in you?
The hope of glory.
The
word hope refers to expectation. That is, this is how your glory will come. It is not by knowing people. It is not by working hard, naturally speaking. It is not by all the natural things you have plotted, but the manifestation of Christ in you is where your glory will come from. That is the meaning of the word, the hope of glory. Are you getting my point? There are those who, their hope of prosperity is American visa. Now, let's get practical. That is, one day, this was many years ago, a man walked up to me. He was in a church. He said, it was like he was in a hurry. He didn't need to tell me quickly. He said, Banky, American visa, American residency permit for sale, $500,000. So I'm like, why? So how does that concern me? And I turned to him, I said, even if you were to give it to me for free, as God lives, I wouldn't take it from you. How much more me coming up with $500,000 to buy it? He now said, oh, I told the wrong person. I said, I'm happy you know you did. He said, oh, I will not tell you. I said, yes, you are not supposed to tell me such crap. I should buy somebody else's American, I think a residency permit or visa, or immigrant visa, I think. I should buy it for $500,000. For what? So I might reject this blessed name that's going to turn the world upside down. So that my name can now turn to be Ferguson Ezedigbo. You know that kind of funny name, you know? Banky is anointed. The illusion that I use as a surname was given to me by God himself. I took it as an adult. The Daniel in my name is prophetic. I cannot reject those names. But for some people, they will go home and tell their father, God has opened the door. And the father said, they finally gave you the job. He said, no, my friend is selling it. It's $500,000. Sell that land. Let me have it. And my problems with you, they are over. Then after 2 years, I will begin to bless you. It's called American Visa, the hope of glory. For some people, I told you once, somebody came to me and said, pray. I said, about what? Said that I will have doors opened that might go for international trials. Are you a criminal? No, I'm a footballer. He said, I'm a footballer. I said, have you gone for trials with Rangers? He said, no. Have you gone for trial with Aqua United? He said, no. So you have not gone to for trials in this stadium in Enugu here? He said, no. You want me to pray that you get a visa? You're a thief. You should know that. I don't pray such rubbish prayers. I beg. Come on for there. Anybody with serious prayer points, come up. It's called International Trials of Football Play, the Hope of Glory. The man believes that once I just go, I said, go and ask, what's the Kanu Wanko? Go and ask J.J. Okocha, ask Nidi George where they were playing before they went for international trial. That's why they could not have been 17 years old when they did under 17, you know. These are boys who played for Rangers for a few years. Ah, is Rangers now taking 13-year-old boys? That just by the way, I mean, don't say I reported anybody to you. But you and I know now, Alpha. We all know these things. What I'm saying is, I told the young man, forget, go and settle down, go home. Is it football you want to play? Go across to Nnamdi Azikiwe Stadium. That's our stadium is called, Abi. Yes, go up there. Go and play. If you play well for Rangers, and God wants to lift you up, one day somebody will see you while you are playing for Rangers. But for me to just come here and say, I break open the doors of international trial. I don't be that kind, pastor. I tell people the truth. There are doors you don't need. You really don't need those doors. It's because you don't realize what is called the hope of glory. Believe me, a lot of prayers that pastors pray, they learned it. They watch somebody as a role. They watch somebody else pray it. So when you come, they give you professional prayer without reasoning. That's when they say, okay, people should line up and come and pray. I will ask you, what are you asking me to be? I won't just say, oh yeah, I just receive it. You won't receive anything. Let's talk. What is the problem? I told you the story of a man who told me that people have been disappointing him. I said, what do you do? He said, I'm a school teacher. Ah, are people disappointing you? He said, okay. No, he said, I help politicians. I said, what did you say? I help politicians. And then when they enter into office, they forget me. Yes, it's a natural thing. They always forget people. What is your normal work? He said, I'm a school teacher. I said, that's a good job. You know, because I teach both the scriptures and I teach medical students, I love it when people tell me that they are teaching. Because you have an opportunity that no banker has. You have an opportunity that nobody in an oil company has. You have an opportunity that no judge has. You have an opportunity that no president has to form people's lives with the word. Ha! And he said, it's not a job. I told him, my friend, you will go home and stop helping politicians. They don't need your help. Children need your help. What is he waiting for? After he has helped them, of course, how do you help politicians? It's not ugly. Stealing your ballot boxes. Rearranging electoral papers. Pasting your posters. Okay, maybe. But they can hire boys to do that. They don't need you. How do you... What does he say? Political office, the hope of glory. Are you getting my point? That's not Christianity. Christianity, Paul said, this is how it works. He said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, notice something. I told you something about modern day dark ages. All right? Now, this is why I refer to it. For that reason, verse 28, Paul said, we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man complete or perfect in Christ. And for this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. Now, notice what I said there, verse 28. I said the problem with the dark ages. Paul said, because we know this is the hope of glory, therefore what we do is to proclaim him. We don't proclaim methods. We don't proclaim, you know, human wisdom. We don't even try to make believers rich. We don't teach them the methods of relating with the environment. You know? No. What do? We proclaim him. That is a problem in modern day Christianity. We don't proclaim him much anymore. We have all kinds of methods. I said before that if you proclaim Christ, your gospel cannot be popular amongst unbelievers. It can't be. Are you getting my point? If you are making too much sense, the unbelievers are following you without believing your Christ Jesus. You are not preaching a good gospel. You are not. If they have so many things to distill from your message without committing their life to Christ Jesus, you're not telling the truth. No, you're not telling the truth. There's something that you're not telling them. Because to the world, the gospel is foolishness. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? All right, so because what you do is that you keep on proclaiming a person. Like Derek Prince preached a series once. I said, you have to believe in Christ to continue to listen to him. He said, truth is a person. Philosophers are there trying to discover truth. And he's there preaching. Truth is a person. Are you getting my point? Therefore, if I take a book, one day there's a man, I won't mention names, okay? He's part of this, our modern day Dark Ages matter. Very famous preacher. He appeared on Larry King. I watched this 1993. I know the way they will preview their, program. So, tomorrow this man's going to be on Larry King. So I kept a date with him on Larry King. So that day, as it came up, I was so excited. And the man spoke and spoke and spoke and spoke. It was nice having you. Thank you very much for coming, Larry. Yes, anytime, Larry. You know the way, Larry, yes, that was nice. It was nice having me. I enjoyed having being had. What are they having? Who's having who now? Whatever it is, thanks for inviting me. I was depressed the rest of the day. Because the man spoke with Larry King for many minutes, and I didn't hear the name Christ once. And he's known worldwide for being a preacher. I said, what is this man preaching? He was talking about how to have power thoughts, how to have strong thoughts, how to organize the day and not be depressed. By the time he finished that day, my heart broke. Of course, Larry King will like him, and Larry King will call him back any day. Because Larry King does not believe in Christ Jesus. I felt very bad. That is, I was depressed. That this is, I think, 15 or 30 minutes. Because it was Larry King weekend, so they had different guests for the day. This is 15 or 30 minutes in which the whole world is watching you. You couldn't sleep in the name Christ anywhere. Now, not because you made an agreement with them ahead of time, it's because you don't contemplate him much yourself. That's why. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? That is the problem. That's what I mean by modern day dark ages. We will sit at home and brag, yes, our preachers are on international TV. He didn't mention anything about Christ. He said, his wisdom. What do you mean wisdom? If a doctor wants to come and talk on HIV, he will talk on HIV. We will not say that the secrets for long life, and he won't mention the name HIV and the treatment thereof. He said, why didn't you mention? He said, it's offensive, it's wisdom. Just don't Google code, don't go there. Unless, of course, you really are not a preacher. We are misunderstanding what you stand for, and we think you're a preacher. Preachers, they declare Christ Jesus. I told you last week that once I picked a magazine supposed to be Christian. Those scriptures were quoted. The name God was mentioned here and there. I don't know why maybe because of the thoughts I've been having. I started looking for the name Christ everywhere and Jesus. I didn't see one. Pages and pages, I was going through it. There were sermons in there. I didn't see, I was looking for the name Christ to be mentioned. Listen, the Bible contains a lot of methods for growing your crop. You will find it there. It's in the Bible. For harvesting your field, it's there. Principles of life is there. But Paul said, what do we declare? We declare Christ and him crucified. If you don't declare him, you are not, listen to me, you are not offering people hope. You are not. The example I like to use is that of marriage. You go to these so-called advanced countries, go to America, Western Europe, divorce is so much the order of the day. Hearts are broken every day. People don't, look, even church now modified, when they saw the original vow that we used to use, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, they said no. It is for better, for best, they say it's faith. It's not faith. It is fear to make proper commitment. He said, we are standing against poverty and death. Arrant nonsense. Paul wrote to some of his church, the churches. He said, the first time, I think it was the Thessalonians. I can't remember which one of them now, briefly, please. Excuse me for that. He said, the first time we met, it was because of a bodily ailment. I was not feeling well. He talked about his co-workers that labored because of the cause of the gospel until they became sick unto death. And then they prayed and God had mercy. That's what we mean when we say for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. Are you getting my point? But let me not go over that again. So you see, they began to design all kinds of marriage vows. Because divorce is their reality. And books are there, plenty. Which say, these books say a lot of things on how to relate with your spouse and how to relate with your husband and all the kind of stories. And believe me, those stories are good, they are correct. But they don't heal marriages. Oh, are you hearing what I'm saying? You know what heals marriages? Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you want marriages that will last, you build them upon the foundation which is Christ Jesus. Are you getting my point? And when people are having problems, you bring them, you see, you know what Paul said? We proclaim him. We don't proclaim methods. Admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom that we may present every man complete in Christ. Divorce is because of incompleteness in Christ. Are you getting my point? The problems is because of incompleteness in Christ. If you want to teach how to negotiate your way out of marriage problems to the world, I'm glad you should help them. But when it's believers, no. We expound Christ Jesus and him crucified. Every day as I grow, I realize why the gospel is foolish. The foolishness of the gospel. Because you can see a man and a woman come and say, we have been boxing for the last 2 days. You now sit down and you don't talk about who said what, to whom, on what occasion. Which is what is naturally expected. So after they sit down and say, let us pray. Father, we thank you because you are the foundation of all things. Because Jesus Christ died that we might not box again. And then after they lit up their eyes, he said, in Christ Jesus, because God will give you words at that time, there is forgiveness of sins. And as you speak, as you are talking about Christ, suddenly you are healing wounds. Because some of these boxings, all right, are caused by wounds inside that nobody is talking about. Some of them, they don't even know they are there. As you're expounding Christ Jesus, you suddenly start healing wounds. You are correcting personalities. Because if you ask them, who says who, to whom, on what occasion, I told you not to press the toothpaste in front, then not press it behind. No, that's why she's always telling me what to do and what not to do. Why should I do what she says when I know what I'm going to do? And why is she interrupting what I'm planning to do? And then we're going to say, okay, no, next time don't say it like that. He said, okay, I won't say it like that. Next time you to be patient, I'll try and be patient. Fine. Next day, toothpaste will finish. And nobody's going to correct anybody on who pressed toothpaste. The next problem will be, who carried out the soap? Pastor forgot to talk about that one. There are people that their problem is insecurity. If you expound Christ to them, suddenly their life will mean nothing to them anymore. Therefore, if you like, take away the soap and the toothpaste, they don't care. No, I'm telling you, the problem when we are trying to fix who said what to whom is because we don't know that the problems are deeper than that. They are far deeper than that. Let me just say this, by the way. I don't know, the story just keeps coming to my head. It may help one or two people. I read a story many years ago in one Christian magazine. A woman was talking about how to depend on Christ, on God for the matters of your home and everything. So one day, one of her sons came back from school. It was a small boy, maybe like 10 years old or something. And the boy was depressed. And, you know, she tried her best to talk him out of his depression. The boy wouldn't budge. He kept on insisting. The boy kept on insisting there's nothing. She tried her best. There's nothing. Finally, it was before they sleep at night. She prays with the kids. And meanwhile, I think it has been on her mind. So she had been praying, God, help me, help me. So she had 3 children or so. They would sit together in a circle and then she would begin to talk. Of course, the boy came with his head down. He didn't say anything. Then suddenly the woman remembered something that happened to her when she was a child. That she used to be very small statured. She had a very small size. You understand? And then people used to laugh at her, saying that she's very small and all of that. So But then maybe her mother now told her that she's going to grow one day. She'll become an adult also and all of that. You know, stories like that. So she now began to tell the story. Do you understand? As soon as I started telling the story, the boy lifted his head and started paying attention. I said, look at me today. I'm a grown adult and all of that. The little boy asked one or two questions, which showed that he had had the same problem in school. His mates had beaten him down, you get my point, with their mouth. And he was down in his mind, but he did not tell his mother. But the mother prayed, do you get my point, and just started telling his story while praying with the children of something that happened to her many years ago. What I'm saying is that what was causing the boy's problem was deeper. That is, nobody around did anything to him. But when the Holy Spirit gave her inspiration, she solved his problem, healed his wounds. Are you getting what I'm saying? Without even knowing that was the problem. I'm just explaining that so that a lot of things we are doing in life, we are healing the heart of the daughters of God's people, of my people, God said, slightly by saying peace, peace, when there is no peace.